Well, good evening. All right, so let's start off with prayer and then we'll get into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather again here today. Lord, this is our Thanksgiving season, but we give you thanks each and every day for everything that you have done for us, everything that you are doing, and everything that is yet to come. I ask that you increase as I decrease so that only what you want your people to hear comes forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I was reading scriptures, and this one jumped out at me because I realized that we need to ask, which ask is A, ask, S, seek, K, knock. Ask. God just wants us to ask. And so I got my title from Matthew 7:7, which says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be given unto you. You can also find these words in Luke 11:9. But I was fascinated because I love things like that. You know, I like little surprises. I know I've read this scripture many, many times, and I've just never noticed that. But it wasn't the time for me to notice it. You know what I mean? I think that a lot of times we can hear something for 99 times, but it's that 100th time that it's for us, definitely for us. And so that's what I got from that. And then I went through, and there are so many scriptures about asking and seeking and knocking. I was so overwhelmed that I wanted to put everything in here, but we don't have that kind of time, so I decided not to. So we're going to start off with James 4:2, and this is the New Living Translation. And every other, if I don't mention a translation, it's because it's the King James. But it says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And I thought, wow. If you notice in the society we live in today, there are so many people just taking things that don't belong to them. Constantly taking. You work really, really, really hard for what you have. And then someone who doesn't want to work, but loves what you have and wants what you have, will come and just try to steal it away from you. Instead, maybe they should ask God. You know, ask. He may not give you exactly what you want, but he'll give you the means to obtain those things. And so, you know, we as followers of Christ know that if we abide in God and his word abides in us, we can ask for what we want and it shall be given according to God's will and not our own. And that's if we follow his commandments. And that's in James 15:10. That's the King James Version, and you know, Carla's summary. So, all right. Just because we ask God for it, it doesn't mean that we will get it if it doesn't align with his will and purpose for our life. So you can want it all you want. You can ask and you can do it so nice, like, Lord, pretty please. But if it doesn't align with what he wants and purposes for your life, you won't get it. And if you go about it without his direction, without asking, without waiting for him, you are going to be so sad. Because that thing that you went and did on your own is not going to be God's best. And I've noticed that because, I'm guilty. Done it, been there, done that. Got the t-shirt, the hat, the sweatshirt, the gloves, the scarf. I got it all. I'm telling you, because I used to be very, very impatient. You know, I need it. I didn't really need it, but I really wanted it, you know? And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm just gonna go get it. And then it wasn't God's best. And I had so many problems out of every single thing that I got, like everything. I was just like, okay, well, now I'm kind of like, Pastor, slow. I asked the Lord for patience. And he brought a child into my life, not Crystal, not RJ, but he brought a child into my life that tested my patience. And to God be the glory, I made it through, and I don't have the patience of Job, but I'm really close. I'm telling you, that girl tested my patience. But when you go to God to ask for something, you should go with a humble heart and with unselfish desires. This society is a selfish society, you know. It's all about me, what I can do, what I can get, what I, you know, about me. Not me necessarily, but it is a me society. And people just do crazy things to get what they want because it is all about themselves. John 16:23 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will do it." So that's kind of self-explanatory to me. I mean, you ask in Jesus' name, but you do it selflessly, okay? I remember I was asking the Lord about, you know, what vehicle to get. And I was going to be patient, and I was going to wait till I turned 50. Literally, I said it. I said, "Lord, I can wait till I'm 50 to get it. That's how patient I am." You know, because I want his best. And so the Lord, you know, just moved some things to where I could get it beforehand because I trusted him. I sought him first. You know, I made sure to ask him what to do, ask him what to buy. And it has definitely been a blessing. It's been a year. I'm still learning things about the thing. I tell you, I got way more bells and whistles than I had anticipated. I really did. But 2 Chronicles 20:3-4 says, "Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord." They didn't just run out there and say, you know, "Hey, we have this multitude coming against us. Yeah, let's just get our plan together. We're just gonna run out there and we're gonna do this." No, they took the time. They fasted. They sought the Lord. They asked for help. It is okay to ask for help. Don't think you can do it all on your own. Isn't that right, Wanda? That DIY Christian? Yes, we can't do it on our own. We need to ask. Ask for help. You know, and like I said, we should be doing the same. Seeking God before going into battle. Or just needing an answer, no matter what the situation may be. It could be trouble at home. Seek God. Trouble on your job. Seek God. You could have, you'd be buying a new car, like I said. Seek God. Ask him first. You want a new job? Ask God. He will give you the new job. What I did, and the pastors can attest to this, I prayed not for a new job, but I asked God to increase my tithe. That is what I wanted. I wanted the Lord to increase my tithe. When he increases my tithe, that means that I'm going to either get promoted, I'm going to get another job that pays more, but either way, my tithe was going to increase. And sure enough, I prayed that selflessly, and the Lord blessed me with a job. And while on that job, I've gotten raises, you know, raises and bonuses. I'm telling you, when I tell you, when we speak over these tithes, I know this is off topic. So many things happen when you speak over your tithes with truth and honesty in your heart, not just saying it, you know, as I tithe and give offerings, but it's as I tithe and give offerings, I believe and I receive. You gotta mean that thing. I'm telling you, when I say it, I mean it. I'm probably the last one in here, and it's okay. It's okay, because the Lord knows my heart, and He knows that I only want to do good things and to give Him honor in all that He gives me, all that I have, because I am nothing without Him. I have nothing without Him. That was for free. All right. Now, be sure, though, that when you ask God for something, you're ready for that answer, and you're ready for what you're going to receive, because sometimes it may not be what you expected. Trust me, I have asked, I have received, and I was like, Lord, I don't think so. You know, I said, Lord, I want to honor you more. Apparently, He decided to talk to the pastors, and here I am. All right. This is not where I want to be. So, be willing to accept the answers that He gives you. I mean, when I tell you I am doing this, I praise dance you out, like, it took me 4 years to get up there and just be like, yep, this is the time. It's time to praise dance. Yeah, but that's in front of everyone. That is not where Carla likes to be, okay? Tithes and offerings. Here we go, Deborah. Carla, can you do it? Carla, I'm not going to be here. Can you open and close? Mr. Ish. Oh, so when Deborah's not here, Carla, can you open and close? Like, really, people? No one wants to hear me that much, okay? But those were the answers that I got. And so that is the purpose God has for my life. And so here I am. And I don't do it grudgingly. I may do it with a little fear, but I don't do it grudgingly. All right. So fasting and seeking God go hand in hand, because they said, you know, they fasted. And so when you fast, you become more dependent on God. Trust me, you become more dependent on God. And when you're in that struggle, you know, it doesn't matter what you're fasting from. It could be Facebook. If you are on Facebook more than you are in your Bible, you may need to fast from it. And I found myself there years ago. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to fast from Facebook for a month. And then I forgot about it. And I fasted for Facebook for 6 months. Just didn't even think about it, because I was focused more on God and not on, you know, social media. So even now, people have to say, oh, I tagged you in something. Or did you see what I posted? I'm like, did you tag me? No, then I didn't see it. I'm sorry. I didn't. You know, whether it be eating, you know, you're fasting from what you're eating. You know, that's really when you start to get closer to God. I'm telling you, your stomach is telling you, you know you want it. But your mind and your heart is like, no, we can't. That is not what we're doing. We are seeking God's face because we want answers. Okay? And, you know, when it's just you and God, you find strength, renewed hope, and your answer. So when you fast and you pray, and you're asking God for whatever it is that you may need, desire, you doing it while fasting, you will get that answer. May not be the answer you want, I'm telling you. I know I keep saying that, but just accept it. It may not be the answer you want. So then we go into seeking and praying. You know, when you're down there, and I have done it, when you are face down in the muck, and things don't look good, seek God. seek him. I mean, I tell you what, there have been some times, some struggles in the past, current ones, that have really tested, you know, my faith. They were a lot of struggles, but I just prayed a lot. I sought God's face a lot. And when I tell you those prayers have been answered, I'm still, you know, I still have some that I'm working on, but, you know, he working on me because, you know, faith without works is dead, so I got to do my part, you know? And so, but I just know that seeking God, you know, in all that you do, whether you're in good times or bad times, is one of the best things you can do. And I always feel better afterward, you know, even if it is bad. But 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Now notice it said continually. That doesn't mean when you want something. That doesn't mean when you need something. That means all the time. Okay? When times are good, when times are tough. You know, when you want something, when you don't want anything. Seek God, you know. Seek him. You may not think you want anything, but I promise you, when you start praying, you start remembering all the things that you really need help with or you need from him, you know. But in everything you do all the time, continually, daily, all the time. So in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So when you seek him, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. And that's in Proverbs 3:6. Now, notice that the scripture said, all ways and paths. Those are multiples. Those are plural words, right? And so the more you seek him, so you seek him multiple times, you will get multiple answers. You'll get multiple blessings. You'll get plenty of understanding. So just seek him always, okay? Psalms 105:4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Again, the scriptures, this scripture, Psalm and Chronicles, the word, it's the word, the truth, they say God and his strength. You say nothing by yours. You can't do that this by yourself. You can't. I don't care if you are the strongest person in the world. You know, they have that competition, world's strongest man. They get weak. No matter how strong you are weak. And God's strength is different from human strength. He can hold up everything that you feel like you can't. He got those arms up for you. He help you up the steps when, you know, you got a little short, stubby legs and the steps are too high. I'm just saying, God is there. He's there for you to lean on. He is there at all times. And so it also says his strength always, which means all the time, forevermore. Forever. Ever, okay? Seek his face always, forever. Now, you need, like I said, you need the Lord's strength because his strength is like no other. Now, when you're seeking God's face, find joy in it. You know, no matter how you're feeling, what you're going through, find joy. But even if you are not feeling well, when you seek his face, you're going to find joy. Joy and happiness are two separate things. You can find happiness in things. You know, oh, this makes me happy. Shopping makes me happy. Sunglasses, purses, scarves. They make me happy. They do. New shoes make me happy. Chocolate makes me happy. But those things also can make me unhappy. You shop too much, you see that how much that credit card looking like. You're like, yeah, I'm not happy because I got to pay this back. You eat too much of that chocolate, stomach may hurt, so you're not happy anymore. You know, so those things that make you happy can also make you unhappy. But joy is one of those things that you have that doesn't go away. Even in your worst moment, joy is always there. And so that I always, you know, try to, you know, explain that to my child, because, you know, sometimes, you know, she's like, I'm not happy. I'm like, find joy in the Lord. Just saying. But 1 Chronicles 16 and 10 says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Luke 12 and 31 says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. All things added from God? Joy. I'm telling you, joy, unspeakable joy. Colossians 3 and 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Same scripture in the Easy Version says, God has raised you with Christ to a new life, so you should want more and more the things that belong to heaven. That is where Christ is now. He sits there at God's right side. So that's joy, knowing that you can be there with God, with Jesus, just like, oh, I just love you so. You know, you can do that here, but, you know, you want to definitely do it here so that you can do it there, okay? So that is the joy that I'm talking about. Psalm 27 and 8 says, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, your heart should be excited to pray to God. It really should be. When I pray, I feel good. I feel great. I had the worst dream the other night. Fell asleep to watching Hallmark movie channel, so it wasn't Discovery ID, so it wasn't anything that should have traumatized me, I'm telling you. But have you ever had a dream that was so vivid that you thought it was real? And I woke up screaming because I had a dream that someone murdered my son. And I woke up screaming, they killed my son. And I was crying, literally tears. And the first thing I did was not call my son to see if he was okay. First thing I did was pray. I feel like that was something that God was sending me, so that I could stand in the gap, so that I could pray for him to make sure that he was covered. Then I waited and I called him because he's 2 hours behind us. So this was like 6 o'clock in the morning, which would have been 4 for him, and he would have been like, Mom, what are you doing? But here's the thing that really blessed me. He never texts back. Like, when I say never, I text him, and I might get a text back a week or so later, but he texts me right back. Right back. I was like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so then I text him back, and I was like, I love you bunches. And he was like, no, I love you more than bunches. And I was just like, oh, God, you are amazing. You are amazing. And so, but I know it was because I sought God first. Now, I'm telling you, old Carla would have been like, are you okay? But new Carla, the renewed Carla, prayed first. Prayed first. Oh. So, I know I'm running a little out of time, but I just want to touch on knock. When you knock on someone's door, you expect them to answer. and to welcome you in, especially if they are expecting you. Don't knock on my door if I'm not expecting you. I'm sorry. It's not me being rude, but yeah, I don't answer doors unless I know you're coming. So please let me know you're coming. I know you guys find out all these little things about me, my little quirks, and that's one of them. But God is expecting you, and He is ready to welcome you in. All you have to do is knock, and He'll answer. You know, it says in Matthew 7 and 8, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." This can also be found in Luke 11 and 10. It's like looking in the mirror, isn't it? Like, didn't I just read the scripture? That is so wrong, but yes, that you can find it there. And Revelation 3 and 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. The Lord is also knocking on your door. Is the noise level in your house or your mind too loud for you to hear? Are you too busy to listen? He wants to welcome you in. Welcome. He wants to be welcomed in so that he can bless you to be a blessing. Now, this is the end of my lesson, but I have a quick testimony that is going to lead into next week's lesson. And it's all about asking, seeking, and knocking. So, Quincy had been frustrated with, you know, his job and things like that. And it got to the point where he was just like, I'm going to start training other people. You know, he has two supervisors that he manages. And he said, I'm going to start training them to do my job because I'm not staying here. And I said, okay. I said, did you pray about it first? And he was like, yes, I did pray about it. I said, okay. So he put in some applications and, you know, they were turned down. He was turned down very quickly. And so he was about to give up. And I said, and that's the enemy. As soon as you're about to get a breakthrough, he wants you to give up. He's going to throw everything at you to tell you that you can't. And so he decided, yes, okay, I'm going to keep this going. And what was funny was a coworker of his, he was telling the same thing to, and the guy said the exact same thing. He said, don't give up. It's out there for you. So Quincy continued. And then it got to the point where he did ask. He prayed about it, and he saw a job opening that he said, I'm qualified for, but they'll never hire me. And I said, well, of course they're not with an attitude like that. Yes, I can be that person. And so he says, he's like, you're right, you know. I always call him a negative Nate, because he's not Nancy. So, yes. Or negative Nelly. I'm like, dude, you have to think positive. Like, positivity is my thing. That's my mantra. You got to be positive. And so he did that. He applied for the job. He applied in September, had an interview in October, got offered the job in October, was told that it was going to be 2 to 3 months to do a security clearance. It took 2 to 3 weeks. And I'm only telling you a portion of what happened because I will tell you the full testimony next week. But with that being said, it is with great sadness and great joy that I must tell you all that we will be leaving as of January. Quincy got a new job working at Fort Eustis in Virginia. And so we asked God, we sought him, and we knocked, and he answered. And with that, be careful what you ask for, because it could take you away from some great people that you've met and a great family. So with that, I love you guys.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.